from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan, Turn It Up Tuesday. Another good Turn It Up Tuesday song. Some Guns N' Roses. It's So Easy. Appetite for Destruction, 1987. What's happening? Ravens camp coming up. Less than 2 weeks for the rookies. About 2 weeks for quarterbacks and injured veterans. July 20th, full squad. Then practice starts the 21st. And then before you know it, preseason opener, and then September 5th comes rolling around, and all the fun stuff that goes along with that. Here to make sense of it all, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in, as we do every Tuesday, from USA Today, the Ravens Wire. He is Kevin Allstreicher. Kevin, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I know we're getting closer and closer here. Just a couple more weeks to go, and then we will officially be at training camp, and everybody's anticipating it. We just got a couple more weeks.
I haven't even been sunburnt yet. We can't have football happening this quickly. But, yeah, I know it's a slow time, even though it's rapidly approaching. But of the storyline surrounding the Ravens so far this offseason, whether it's weight loss, Bateman working out here, rookies, this, that, and the other, which one has been overblown, and what Ravens story might not, which could adversely affect the team or positively affect them, which one has not been talked about enough?
Yeah, I think that the workout story has been one that a lot of people are feeling pretty passionate about. Obviously, the clip of Lamar throwing to Nelson Aguilar, and Tez Walker is there as well. And obviously, Rashad Bateman was not spotted there. And that was the one that really got the attention of a lot of people. It's great that, you know, Lamar's throwing to guys. He said he wanted to, but Bateman not being there, I think the fact that it is Rashad Bateman and all of the controversy that has been surrounding him, that has kind of been overblown to the point where, I mean, it's almost like the voluntary OTA conversation where you would love him to be there working out with Lamar. You know, you would. But, you know, it's his decision not to. And really the training camp aspect of this is the most important thing. If he's healthy for training camp, if he goes to training camp, that's the one that matters. That's what matters in staying healthy for the entire season and obviously training camp. And then one that I think isn't being talked about enough, I don't know the Marlon Humphrey injury situation. I mean, I don't know. It's really been kind of underblown, I guess. John Harbaugh not really being very detailed with that, but, you know, that's an injury. He's not going to be detailed with those. I don't know the situation. I kind of wait and see mode there to see if, you know, he's ready for training camp. I assume he will be, but you never know. So that's going to be one I'm keeping my eye on that maybe a lot of people aren't talking about right now just because we're not to training camp yet. But that one to me is a little interesting.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Like the article today, Jameson wrote on Bateman, you know, and Mark Andrews commenting about how great he is. And I mean, we've heard Harb say it. We've heard Eric say it. A lot of people have said it. I mean, like, and I'm a Bateman fan. I'm a big Bateman fan. But, I mean, I saw four practices of OTA, and I saw two at the mandatory mini camp. He wasn't at the two OTAs. He was at the mandatory mini camp. Other than, you know, like when he beat Humphrey Deep on the one, he didn't really impress. You know, like I keep reading these stories about, you know, how great he's been. And I watched the two practices, and I didn't really notice him.
Yeah, and that's where the chemistry factor comes into play here, where you look back at Bateman's career, to start, he got injured during training camp and ended up having to miss the first, I think it was five games. He came back week six his rookie season against the Chargers for his NFL debut. He had some time, but there wasn't a lot of time for him to get acclimated with Lamar and everything. And then obviously he's been in and out of the lineup, hurt here, had to miss the end of the season there and missed a couple games here. It's been so inconsistent with him. To the point where, you know, the chemistry, he's entering year four right now. And usually with a lot of these receivers, they've had a lot of time with their quarterback and they've had time to establish that chemistry. And Bateman just, he hasn't had that. And again, the injury situation, I'm not going to blame a player for an injury unless they're just, you know, absolutely like neglecting their body or something like that. So I'm not blaming Bateman for his injuries, but it has impacted how his career has gone. And of course, there are other factors as well. But that's why, to me, this training camp is so important, because it sets a tone. And if he's missing time or if he can't get on the field, that, to me, it continues down that hole of just pushing him further and further down on that chemistry ladder. And that's a really important time where I think the actual chemistry that gets brought up during training camp and that you can build, I think, is a little underrated by a lot of people. I mean, I remember on the offensive line, I think it was in 2021, they had people missing practices left and right. I don't think they could get their full offensive line on the field until like the final couple weeks, because everybody was missing time, and they started off pretty slow that year on the offensive line because they just couldn't get guys on the field. So I think for Bateman, it's just a matter of staying healthy. Hopefully he and Lamar can build up that chemistry during training camp. I think that will help a lot.
All right, Kevin, quarterbacks and injured vets report on the 15th. What healthy, in your opinion, what healthy veteran is going to be there? Come on the 15th. Come early.
Oh, I hope a lot of them in terms of healthy guys. But I don't know. I feel like for me, I think all of them.
Well, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is from what you just talked about, there's one guy that needs to be. You keep talking chemistry. Wouldn't it behoove Rashad Bateman to be there?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. Yes, Bateman, yes, he should. He should be there. And I know that, you know, with everything that goes on, you know, you can report and this, that, and the other. But the chemistry factor, I think it's really important for him to be there, because at the end of the day, you want to get as much time as you can with Lamar. And that's, of course, under the team setting, under the roof of Owings Mills, and getting out on that practice field together during the off season, during your, I guess, off time. You can do what you want. Like, you know, obviously being able to work and everything, you can go work with Lamar, you cannot, but there's that time to report. This team is really serious about competing and winning a Super Bowl. And I think to do that, getting there early, setting that tone is really important. And I think a lot of vets do that for Baltimore. But for Bateman, this is not a second-year player anymore. This is a guy who is going into year four. He's taking on a bigger role. And I think he does understand that. And I think showing up at training camp and just being there and making sure that he sets that tone as well is really important. So, yes, I do agree with you.
All right, Kevin, let's fast forward. We're talking, and the season just ended. Who are the top three receivers for the Ravens that just finished the season? Tight ends, wide receivers? No, it doesn't matter. Tell me, who's going to be the top three wide receivers or top three receivers Or top four. Yeah.
Well, I'll give top three, and then I'll round it out with one more guy. Top three, I think Mark Andrews. Andrews has become, I think, somewhat of an underrated player in this Ravens offense somehow, which is kind of crazy for me to say. But I think Isaiah Likely has kind of taken over here is the hype guy. Everybody loves Isaiah Likely, which they should. Isaiah Likely is a great player. But Mark Andrews is the best pass catcher on this team right now. And he's been injured the past couple of seasons. Isaiah stepped up for him, and it's been an incredible transition of not really losing anything. Obviously, Andrews and Lamar have that connection, but you haven't seen a drop-off because Likely stepped up. But I think Andrews and Lamar have that connection. I'm putting him number one. I think Zay, obviously, is their best wide receiver. I expect him to have a big sophomore year, so I'm putting him at number two. And then I do think I'm going to go Isaiah Likely number three. All that does depend on the Ravens being able to use Andrews and Likely together, finding a role for Isaiah Likely. And I know using them together is something that we don't have a huge sample size with. But I do think that at the end of the day, Likely is the guy that's going to make an impact. And I'll go Bateman for it. I think Bateman will be the fourth guy.
You're wrong. No, I'm just joking. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Keep Vinny's crystal ball out. One quickly. Ravens' biggest competition, AFC North, come from what team? Health permitting, obviously.
I think that's going to be Cincinnati. I mean, I think a lot of people look at Pittsburgh and that them being Lamar's kryptonite, but I think with Joe Burrow back, I think it'll be that.
Kevin Allstriker, what's happening at USA Today, the Ravens Wire?
Yeah, just continuing to grind away and wait for training camp. We're talking about still positional previews and still wrapping up on quotes from minicamp and OTA. So a lot going on over there, just waiting for training camp to start.
All right, Kevin, appreciate the time. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Kev.
Always appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
There's Kevin Allstriker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Bad news for the American kickball team. We'll get into that. Oriole history, pretty cool. And these big money deals keep flying in the NBA. Man, why couldn't I be 6'10 and could shoot from 35 feet and be like 22 again?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, time for the whip around. Here on video at 81.057 The Fan, turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12, because that's how loud you want it, and that's how loud you're going to get it. Donovan Mitchell gets extended by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Max extension, a lot of talk that he might bolt. 3 years, $150.3 million, 6'2 shooting guard. Extreme athleticism, really good player, but they're putting all their chips in the Donovan Mitchell platter there. They have some good big men with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Good team. Injuries kind of got them in the postseason, but we'll see how it all turns out for Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers. The Boston Celtics are for sale, for one. And Jason Tatum, their star player, one of their star players, 5 years, $314 million. Highest paid player in the history of the NBA.
I mean, and that blows everybody else away, doesn't it? Maybe what they're trying to do, Bob, is because isn't your team more valuable if you're trying to sell it, if you got all your starters signed? Maybe.
I'm not sure, but yeah. They got to pay the luxury tax. I'm assuming they're over the salary cap because Derek White got paid. Jaylen Brown's already been paid. I mean, they got a lot of dudes. Jrue Holiday ain't playing for free.
Porzingis.
The Zinger's making money.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But, hey, look, congratulations, Jason Tatum, for getting that dough. Klay Thompson, he leaves Golden State, 3-year deal, $50 million with the Dallas Mavericks. So quietly averaged almost 18 points a game this year for Golden State, but more one-dimensional than he's been. He had the serious knee injury suffered in the NBA Finals 5 years ago. At times was in cold streaks that lasted games. So that whole Golden State dynasty surrounding the big three, which was Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green, well, it's come to an end, and I'm guessing Draymond Green's shelf life is pretty it's going to expire here soon, even though they just paid him last season.
Now, I would agree with that, Bob. And do you think he was ever – I don't think he was ever going back to the Clippers.
Yeah, I think they were kind of not so subtly letting him know that, I think we're going to move on to the next phase, whatever our – Golden State basketball platform is going to be here. So that's NBA news. At least some of it. I mean, I can't keep up with all the salaries. It's insane. But in kickball, soccer, or football, whatever you prefer, United States on its home turf against Uruguay. And boy, things got a little out of control there about 66 minutes in.
Free kick for Uruguay after the Reina foul. De La Cruz sends it in. Turner the save. The rebound to go. U.S. looking at the side, hoping to see a flag come up. It's not going to come up. It's Matias Oliveira leading the celebrations.
One zip final score. Uruguay stuns the United States. So they're out. Don't advance to the knockout round. There was some controversy about whether or not there was, offsides on that goal. And some U.S. players were unhappy with the officiating. The lead official didn't even shake hands with one of the players, because I guess he was offended by the insults hurled his way. But Copa America will not have America in it. Now, since USA is one of the host countries for the World Cup, they qualify. But, you know, it's a popular sport worldwide. Some will tell you, most popular sport in the world. You see 100,000 people at these kickball games in some countries.
Yeah.
But the United States has never been able to get over that hump. Women have, but the men to be this world dominant power.
None of the other countries, Bob, have NFL football to deal with. That's what kills men's soccer.
Well, men's soccer in the pecking order of popular sports in this country is way down.
Yes.
The list. But, you know, you root for them and hope for the best. And yesterday, not exactly an ideal situation for the United States. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is the whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Boxing history, 1921 in New Jersey. The first ever $1 million gate, $1.7 million for 1921. Jack Dempsey defended his heavyweight championship fourth round knockout over the light heavyweight champion, Georges Carpentier. From France, Jack Dempsey, you think about rock stars of that era, Babe Ruth, him, maybe Man of War, you know, somewhere along those lines. But Jack Dempsey one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, beat the future Hall of Famer himself, Carpentier, at the time, the light heavyweight champion. Orioles history, it's July 2nd, 1983 in Detroit. Eddie Murray, Jim Dwyer, and Rich Dower all went deep. Scott McGregor, complete game for his ninth win. Orioles beat the Tigers 7-2. 1997, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Orioles take out the Phillies 10-6. Rafael Palmeiro, Robbie Alomar, Jeffrey Hammonds all go deep. Arthur Rhodes gets the win in relief of Scott Kamenicki. 10 years ago, Nolan, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Orioles beat the Rangers 6-4. Adam Jones, Ryan Flaherty both go deep. Brad Brock gets the win. Zach Britton picks up the save. And a year ago today, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Oriole scored two runs, bottom of the eighth. Aaron Hicks with a ribby. Jordan Westberg got hit by a pitch, which scored Anthony Santander with the bases loaded. Cionel Perez gets the win. And the Mountain, Felix Bautista, picks up his 22nd save. That was a year ago today as the Orioles beat the Minnesota Twins 2-1. When we come back, we'll talk about the current day Orioles first place. American League East taking on the first place team in the West, Seattle Mariners. Ryan Ripken's going to be joining us. Funhouse Drip, Nolan McGraw. Then news from the Nest coming up at noon. Going to look at Patrick Queen. Going to look at Roquan Smith and the correlation between the two. Now Patrick Queen in Pittsburgh and apparently doing a lot of popping off about the former team that he played for there. Feed Hattie 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Cranking it up to 12. How loud do you want it? Well, it's as loud as it goes. Send your song request, plot support text line at 410-583-1057. Lenny Kravitz, over 30 years ago, this tune came out. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. He's going to spin your tune as only he can. Orioles back on the diamond tonight in Seattle. First time since last August where they took two out of three from the Mariners. Cedric Mullins had that brilliant ninth, 10th inning against Seattle to seal the finale. Fuji got the win, much to the dismay of Nolan McGraw way back when. But here to talk about the current day Orioles, first place by percentage points, taking on Seattle, first place in the West, even though their once big advantage been trimmed a little bit here as we're now into the month of July. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He joins us every Tuesday. Let's welcome in Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning. What is up?
Not much. Happy Tuesday. And you're making me reminisce about Fuji now. What a time. Well, it could be to the backstop or, you know, he'd retire the side. But, man, do I miss that.
Yeah.
Do I miss that guy in Baltimore?
Yeah. What's the old saying? You can't teach 104. You can't teach him to throw it over the plate, apparently, either. But we look at this Orioles pitching staff, and I'm going to throw some numbers at you there, Ryan Ripken. Mm-hmm. Orioles earn run average as a team, 344. Which is third in baseball. Seattle, with all that great pitching, they're sixth, 358. Orioles starting earned run average, minus pitchers, is 336, second in baseball. Mm. Seattle's is third with all of their pitchers. Bullpen earned run average, Orioles are ninth, they're 15th. Okay, opposing batting average, Seattle's second, the Orioles are fourth. Bottom line is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, for the first 3 months of the season, the Orioles pitching has been good enough, but are we starting to see a little cracks here because the injuries are just becoming a little bit too much for them to deal with? Cole Irvin's June struggles, well documented. Coulomb's going to be out for a while. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, you're freaking out. Injury concerns for the Orioles pitching staff are what for you right now?
I mean, I'm probably going to keep it at a 3-4, not because of the injuries that have happened, but what I expect to happen. Does that make sense? Like, the Orioles are going to make moves. But also, Bob, I thought this was the worst pitching staff just from what I've heard and what I've been told throughout this course of the season. So I'm glad you threw out those numbers because it gives great context to everyone out there that this Orioles team, especially in the pitching department, has done a fantastic job despite all of the issues, despite all the injuries to the team. Now, having said that, the reason why I'm keeping my stress or anything for the Orioles low is it's not a matter of if, it's when they go and make a move. They have to go make a move because they don't have that depth anymore, Bob. That's the biggest thing that I'm looking at, is that if another one of these guys goes down, who can jump in to replace? I know McDermott's looked good down there. He had a great night the other night for Norfolk. But overall, you don't have enough depth to help you get to the next level, in my opinion. And that's a and the level is getting to the postseason. You don't want to play that game and that risk. So I'm keeping it low, and I'm expecting that Baltimore is going to make multiple moves, plural, if I didn't get my point across well enough.
Well, you certainly did. Now, we've talked about the potential available pitchers from a starting standpoint, Garrett Crochet, Eric Fetty in Chicago. I mean, there could be some Angels possibly available. What do you think the price tag will be for teams looking to trade to the Orioles? And what is Mike Elias going to be willing to sacrifice here going for the World Series all in 24?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing of when you look at a guy like Garrett Crochet, who you see the upside, but he's had, you know, he doesn't have the innings to back it up yet. Upside is exciting, but do you want to risk that? And that's going to take a heavy investment. I know we've talked about before, a guy like Skubal, that's going to take investments where you're going to probably have to give up who you might deem as an untouchable prospect or one that you really, really like, right? I think more of the veteran guys, like we mentioned in the past, like the Eric Fettys or any of the Jack Flaherty's, the Angels, I'm blanking on the names right now. But
Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson. That, to me, again, like that fits it where you can give up some guys but not give up the main guys you think you're going to have on your roster 5-10 years from now, right? So that's where I go. But I'll tell you what, you know, there is one team now I'm circling because I'm trying to figure them out. And Bob, they just were in Baltimore. The Orioles played pretty well against them, except for that finale. I'm really curious what Texas is going to do, because if Texas, say, falls double digits out of wild card contention, they sit 8 games out of a wild card spot right now. Would they dare move a guy like Max Scherzer or Nathan Eovaldi at the deadline, guys that have expiring contracts and, in my opinion, would be fantastic trade options to go after, because they're probably not going to get the overhaul that you're hoping for, but those guys certainly, if you add them to your team, would extremely boost your starting rotation.
Now, to that point, we have Bob Nightingale on USA Today, future Hall of Fame writer, talking about the Texas Rangers, and he thinks they're just going to kind of stand pat and they're going to either rise or go down with the ship, current roster, the way it is.
Well, I mean, they could, but the one thing I'll argue with that, and I respect that, is realistically, if you're Texas, and we saw this happen with guys, Max Scherzer is 39 years old. So this is why I look at this. His contract is done, and yes, he could stay and re-sign with Texas, or Texas could go to Max and be like, hey, we have options here, and we know we're out. I personally, if Texas gets going here, then we're not having this conversation, right? If Texas gets close, I don't think we're having this conversation, but I think it would be foolish if Texas falls further behind and Jacob DeGrom is not back and you're 12 games out, to not take phone calls to be, hey, what's it going to take to get one of your pitchers that may or may not be a Ranger in 2025? And that's something that we saw what happens if you can get value for players. The example here, and the Rangers ended up winning, but he wasn't a great piece. But if you can get value back that can help your team in the future, that's something you want to look for. Chapman went to the Rangers last year. Great. Well, they gave up Cole Reagans to the Royals, and that turned out to be a really good move for Kansas City. So Texas, if you can get a player that you think can help, you got to consider it.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, Grayson Rodriguez, he's on the Hill this evening going for win 10. And, Ryan, I'll revisit a conversation you and I had before the season started. I said 15 wins. You said all-star appearance for Grayson Rodriguez. He seems, you know, knocking for Mike, well on his way to the 15. But is the all-star appearance maybe out of reach, or is that something that could be attainable over the next 10 days here?
I think it could be attainable. However, the next, you know, start or two, he should get 2 more starts right before the break.
Yep.
You know, for him, if you look at it, he's had a lot of great consistent outings, but then he's had 2 kind of blow-up games, you know, that are like, whoa, you know, that's up there, which again, pitchers are going to have those, but there are still a lot of great pitchers around there. So, I think Grayson Rodriguez is an all-star level player. But given some of those numbers, if people are going to be box score watchers, then that could keep Grayson on the outside. But I still think he's got a good shot because of the fact that he is one of the best pitchers on currently the best team in the American League East, one of the best teams in all of baseball. So, but let's make no mistake, though, Bob. I think we're close with this. I hope you get the 15. I hope he gets the 17 or 20 wins. Well, that's pushing it. I'm going to heal right there. But you get what I mean.
Yes.
Regardless of it, it's a great accolade to have for Grayson. But the biggest thing for him is to continue to evolve as a pitcher. And if he can, then a Burns, Grayson Rodriguez in the postseason would be very scary to see.
Hey, Ryan, how are these guys, you know, with the trade deadline coming, all these guys' names being mentioned, Kerstedt and then all the guys down in the minors, how do they feel? Like, when you were down in the minors, how did the guys take it?
Some guys, they're realistic, you know, because they understand that they want to be in Baltimore. But, hey, you know, you'll sometimes make a joke. All right, guys, is this our last day together? You know, like, oh, I'll see you when I see you, because there are going to be a ton of rumors that are swirling around, but they keep it light. And I think when you get more and more involved in the business of baseball, that means when you're in there as a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
8-8-1-0-5-7, the fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Cranking it up to 12. How loud do you want it? Well, it's as loud as it goes. But send your song request, plot support text line at 410-583-1057. Lenny Kravitz. Over 30 years ago, this tune came out. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. He's going to spin your tune as only he can. Orioles back on the diamond tonight in Seattle. First time since last August, where they took 2 out of 3 from the Mariners. Cedric Mullins had that brilliant 9th, 10th inning against Seattle to seal the finale. Fuji got the win, much to the dismay of Nolan McGraw way back when. But here to talk about the current day Orioles, first place by percentage points, taking on Seattle, first place in the West, even though their once big advantage been trimmed a little bit here as we're now into the month of July. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He joins us every Tuesday. Let's welcome in Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning. What is up?
Not much. Happy Tuesday. And you're making me reminisce about Fuji now. What a time. Well, it could be to the backstop or, you know, he'd retire the side. But, man, do I miss that.
Yeah.
Do I miss that guy in Baltimore?
Yeah. What's the old saying? You can't teach 104. You can't teach him to throw it over the plate, apparently, either. But we look at this Orioles pitching staff, and I'm going to throw some numbers at you there, Ryan Rickey. Mm-hmm. Orioles earn run average as a team, 344. Which is third in baseball. Seattle, with all that great pitching, they're sixth, 358. Orioles starting earned run average, minus pitchers, is 336, second in baseball. Seattle's is third with all of their pitchers. Bullpen earned run average, Orioles are ninth, they're 15th. Okay, opposing batting average, Seattle second, the Orioles are fourth. Bottom line is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, for the first 3 months of the season, the Orioles pitching has been good enough, but are we starting to see a little cracks here because the injuries are just becoming a little bit too much for them to deal with? Cole Irvin's June struggles, well documented. Coulomb's going to be out for a while. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, you're freaking out. Injury concerns for the Orioles pitching staff are what for you right now?
I mean, I'm probably going to keep it at a 3-4, not because of the injuries that have happened, but what I expect to happen. Does that make sense? Like, the Orioles are going to make moves. But also, Bob, I thought this was the worst pitching staff just from what I've heard and what I've been told throughout this course of the season. So I'm glad you threw out those numbers because it gives great context to everyone out there that this Orioles team, especially in the pitching department, has done a fantastic job despite all of the issues, despite all of the injuries to the team. Now, having said that, the reason why I'm keeping my stress or anything for the Orioles low is it's not a matter of if, it's when they go and make a move. They have to go make a move because they don't have that depth anymore, Bob. That's the biggest thing that I'm looking at, is that if another one of these guys goes down, who can jump in to replace? I know McDermott's looked good down there. He had a great night the other night for Norfolk. But overall, you don't have enough depth to help you get to the next level, in my opinion. And that's and the level is getting to the postseason. You don't want to play that game and that risk. So I'm keeping it low, and I'm expecting that Baltimore is going to make multiple moves, plural, if I didn't get my point across well enough.
Well, you certainly did. Now, we've talked about the potential available pitchers from a starting standpoint, Garrett Crochet, Eric Fetty in Chicago. I mean, there could be some Angels possibly available. What do you think the price tag will be for teams looking to trade to the Orioles? And what is Mike Elias going to be willing to sacrifice here going for the World Series all in 24?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing of when you look at a guy like Garrett Crochet, who you see the upside, but he's had, you know, he doesn't have the innings to back it up yet. Upside is exciting, but do you want to risk that? And that's going to take a heavy investment. I know we've talked about before, a guy like Skubal, that's going to take investments where you're going to probably have to give up who you might deem as an untouchable prospect or one that you really, really like, right? I think more of the veteran guys, like we mentioned in the past, like the Eric Fettys or any of the Jack Flaherty's, the Angels, I'm blanking on the names right now. But
Tyler Anderson. Yeah, right.
Tyler Anderson, yeah. That was it. Tyler Anderson, that to me, again, like that fits it where you can give up some guys but not give up the main guys you think you're going to have on your roster 5-10 years from now, right? So that's where I go. But I'll tell you what, you know, there is one team now I'm circling because I'm trying to figure them out. And Bob, they just were in Baltimore. The Orioles played pretty well against them, except for that finale. I'm really curious what Texas is going to do. Because if Texas, say, falls double digits out of wild card contention, they sit 8 games out of a wild card spot right now, would they dare move a guy like Max Scherzer or Nathan Eovaldi at the deadline, guys that have expiring contracts, and in my opinion, would be fantastic trade options to go after because they're probably not going to get the overhaul that you're hoping for, but those guys certainly, if you add them to your team, would extremely boost your starting rotation.
Now, to that point, we have Bob Nightingale on USA Today, future Hall of Fame writer, talking about the Texas Rangers, and he thinks they're just going to kind of stand pat and they're going to either rise or go down with the ship current roster the way it is.
Well, I mean, they could, but the one thing I'll argue with that, and I respect that, is realistically, if you're Texas, and we saw this happen with guys, Max Scherzer is 39 years old. So this is why I look at this. His contract is done, and yes, he could stay and re-sign with Texas, or Texas could go to Max and be like, hey, we have options here, and we know we're out. I personally, if Texas gets going here, then we're not having this conversation, right? If Texas gets close, I don't think we're having this conversation, but I think it would be foolish if Texas falls further behind and Jacob DeGrom is not back and you're 12 games out to not take phone calls to be, hey, what's it going to take to get one of your pitchers that may or may not be a Ranger in 2025? And that's something that we saw what happens. If you can get value for players, the example here, and the Rangers ended up winning, but he wasn't a great piece. But if you can get value back that can help your team in the future, that's something you want to look for. Chapman went to the Rangers last year. Great. Well, they gave up Cole Reagans to the Royals, and that turned out to be a really good move for Kansas City. So Texas, if you can get a player that you think can help, you got to consider it.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, Grayson Rodriguez, he's on the Hill this evening going for win 10. And, Ryan, I'll revisit a conversation you and I had before the season started. I said 15 wins. You said all-star appearance for Grayson Rodriguez. He seems, you know, knocking for Micah, well on his way to the 15. But is the all-star appearance maybe out of reach, or is that something that could be attainable over the next 10 days here?
I think it could be attainable. However, the next, you know, start or two, he should get two more starts right before the break.
Yep.
You know, for him, if you look at it, he's had a lot of great consistent outings, but then he's had two kind of blow up games, you know, that are like, whoa, you know, that's up there, which again, pitchers are going to have those, but there are still a lot of great pitchers around there. So I think Grayson Rodriguez is an all-star level player. But given some of those numbers, if people are going to be box score watchers, then that could keep Grayson on the outside. But I still think he's got a good shot because of the fact that he is one of the best pitchers on currently the best team in the American League East, one of the best teams in all of baseball. So, but let's make no mistake though, Bob. I think we're close with this. I hope you get the 15. I hope he gets the 17 or 20 wins. Well, that's pushing it. I'm going to heel right there, but you get what I mean.
Yes.
Regardless of it, it's a great accolade to have for Grayson. But the biggest thing for him is to continue to evolve as a pitcher. And if he can, then a Burns Grayson Rodriguez in the postseason would be very scary to see.
Hey, Ryan, how are these guys, you know, with the trade deadline coming, all these guys' names being mentioned, Kerstad and then all the guys down in the minors, how do they feel? Like, when you were down in the minors, how did the guys take it?
Yeah, I mean, well, some guys, they're realistic, you know, because they understand that they want to be in Baltimore. But, hey, you know, you'll sometimes make a joke, all right, guys, is this our last day together? You know, like, oh, I'll see you when I see you, because there are going to be a ton of rumors that are swirling around, but they keep it light. And I think when you get more and more involved in the business of baseball, that means when you're in there as a player, coach, staff member, whatever it may be, you just have an understanding that things can change really quickly. And usually you kind of pick that up within that first year in the minors. So by the time you're, you know, like these guys in AAA specifically or AA, I mean, you kind of understand what could happen. And for some guys, I'll be honest too, they want to be in Baltimore, but they understand, like, I'll say it, Connor Norby, I love Connor Norby. I want him to be in Baltimore. But there's a very good chance that his time to shine might be elsewhere, just like it was with Joey Ortiz. And I think it's a reality of the sport. But they handle it really, really well. And you got to make light of it because, to be honest, it's all out of your control.
Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight colleague, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Ryan, as always, appreciate the time. Probably won't see you for a few weeks, but we'll be talking to you next Tuesday, and I'm sure that's always the highlight of your day.
It always is. It always is. I don't know what I would do. Yeah, you're icing me out. You and Nolan are icing me out for a few weeks. But you guys enjoy your Tuesday, and we'll talk soon.
You got it, bud. Here's Ryan Ripken, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest. Good talk to Ravens. Comparing some numbers here at linebackers. Stay tuned for that. Let's turn up the money, hopefully, at buy or sell time. And then Mark Vandermeer. Texans radio. Talk about the Houston Texans. Ooh. They're the flavor of the month. A lot of people like their chances, and rightfully so. They made the playoffs last year, won a game, made the Ravens sweat for a half, and they're going to be even better here in 2024. Turn it up Tuesday. A little priest for you. Actually, a lot of priests. Don't have to be old to be wise, Nolan. That's you. Me and Vinny are old. We're stupid. You're young, and you think you're wise. Turn it up Tuesday. You want it to 12. Send your request. Plazaport text line is a good song. So thank you for that suggestion, everybody. Vinny, tease news from the Nest for our listeners, please.
Oh, yes. There we go. We are going to talk about Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. The difference is what happened when Queen came. What was the difference when Queen came prior to Queen's arrival in 2022 with Josh Bynes being the starter opposite Queen? And then Queen swapping over from the Mike position to the Will position.
That's all coming your way here in a matter of minutes. Then we're counting money, hopefully, buy or sell. And then Mark Vandermeer, Texans radio. Talk about the Houston Texans. We talk about the AFC North being a tough division, and it is. That AFC South going to be pretty strong. I mean, if a Levis, if he's good, then they're going to be good. Because they got some pieces to work with. Yeah. And then you got the Colts barely missed the playoffs. Jacksonville looked like they were locked. Then they cacked. So the AFC South could be an interesting division. Orioles and Seattle, two first-place teams. We'll talk about that later on in the show with Ryan Divish from the Seattle Times. And we got the American League East report around 150. But Nolan, what's up?
Yeah, just looking at the Orioles here a little bit more. We're talking about the strength of the offense through the month of June, all the homers they hit. Just how well they performed through a lot of tough series against playoff caliber teams. And the fact that you have guys at the bottom of your order that are coming around, Hayes and Mullins in particular. And the Orioles, I expect them to make a pitching addition, obviously, and the pitching will get better after the deadline. But the strength of this team has always been and will continue to be the offense. They'll go as far as the offense is going to take them. So again, to hammer home the importance of having no weak spots 1 through 9, when you get to the playoffs, and maybe this bullpen isn't exactly where we want it to be. Maybe the rotation isn't as strong as we need it to be. But if your offense is firing in all cylinders, you can win in spite of a poor pitching staff. And I'm not saying the Orioles have a bad pitching staff, but recent history shows that you can win a World Series even with a flat-out bad bullpen. I mean, the Rangers did it last year. Kind of all the stars aligned for them. I think about the Nationals in 2019. Their bullpen was toast, but their starting rotation was so good that they started using those guys in the bullpen, and their offense was fantastic. So, I mean, you don't have to have a perfect team to win it all. The Orioles, like many teams in the league this year, aren't perfect, but the offense has to carry them.
And there's a lot of ifs in what I'm about to say, but Irvin pitches in July like he pitched in May. And Dean Kramer comes back, and he's what he was in the second half of 22 through 23. Things aren't as dire, but as Ryan Ripken pointed out, this depth that they used to have, there is no depth. There's no depth. They can ill afford another injury to their starting rotation. Chase McDermott, as we said earlier, he had 7 innings, 12 Ks for Norfolk. So maybe he'll be next in line. But as Ryan said, moves plural, he expects from Mike Elias. We got time for a fun house?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's have some.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with one on the Ravens here. This texter says, I'm not a big Bateman believer, but him running routes in a park in Florida has or would do nothing for me. The real work is coming in training camp. If the disconnect between him and Lamar continues, it won't be because he didn't join Lamar in Florida in the middle of July.
See, the texter, you don't get the whole picture there. 90% of feeling good about a guy and stuff is hanging out with him, communicating with him, doing those types, you know, trust in him, have confidence in him. And a lot of that just, you know, you go to dinner, you hang out, you know each other. I think that's as big a part of it as any. I mean, we heard that they were both in France together. Not together, but at the same time, didn't even see each other.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah.
French fries. Getting hungry. Here.
Best bread.
I'm telling you, those snails. They were probably eating snails. Remember, you're talking about the bread, the
escargots,
other stuff.
I don't like that.
Yeah. All right, we're getting on track next.
All right, how about an Orioles text here from Russell and Frederick says, for the O's on this West Coast road trip, just find a way to stay afloat, win both series, especially the Seattle one with Grayson and Burns in line to both pitch here the next two nights. Keep playing the same ball you were playing there at the beginning of June. Get to the All-Star break, get that well-deserved break, and roll from there.
Yeah, and look, last time Grayson and Burns pitched in the same series, they got swept by the Astros. So you don't want to see that duplicate itself. But we'll get into this during the AL East report. If they just bring their A game, or B+, Seattle is really, really offensively challenged. Really offensively challenged. And we'll remember Julio Rodriguez, all that brilliance. Yep. Ain't nobody talking about him this year. And we'll tell you why next.
Well, it just popped into my head here, the pitching matchups, Rodriguez versus Kirby, Burns versus Gilbert, we presume tomorrow.
Sure.
It's feeling like that Philly series a couple weeks ago where we were talking about playoff caliber matchups throughout.
Yeah, and they're matching up well. What, it was Wheeler against Burns on that Sunday, and the Orioles hit four home runs off Zach Wheeler and eight on the board. It'll be interesting to see, however, who goes Thursday. Is it going to be Kramer, or do you save him for Oakland, assuming he's ready to go? Throw Suarez back out there, who pitched well on Friday against the Texas Rangers. Yeah, and like you said, Burns has not officially been announced for tomorrow, but, you know, we can Columbo this one up here.
If Kramer goes, Bob, what kind of pitch count will he be on?
If he's ready to go, hopefully 100. Health isn't the issue. It's performance down at the door. Made four starts. Why bring him in there if he can't give you a full workload?
And before we get to news from the Nest, we'll continue our Bowie Bay Sox ticket giveaways. I got four more tickets. That's right, four more, not a pair. Four tickets here. I'm looking for caller number 8 at 410-583-1057. Again, four tickets here. They can be yours to any Bowie Bay Sox game this season.
Speaking of Bowie, Sammy Abisayo picked for the Futures game representing the Orioles. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nets coming up next. Count that money, buy or sell, 12:15. And Mark Vandermeer, we're going to talk about the Houston Texans, or Orioles. Ravens play them on Christmas. Yeah, that's going to be fun on a Wednesday. Made up stupid money grab game. Turn it up Tuesday, little priest for you. Actually, a lot of priests. Don't have to be old to be wise, Nolan. That's you. Me and Vinny are old. We're stupid. You're young and you think you're wise. Turn it up Tuesday. You want it to 12. Send your request. Plaza Sports text line is good song. So thank you for that suggestion, everybody. Vinny, tease news from the Nest for our listeners, please.
Oh, yes. There we go. We are going to talk about Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. The difference is... what happened when Queen came? What was the difference when Queen came prior to Queen's arrival in 2022 with Josh Bynes being the starter opposite Queen and then Queen swapping over from the Mike position to the Will position?
That's all coming your way here in a matter of minutes. Then we're counting money, hopefully buy or sell. And then Mark Vandermeer, Texans Radio, talk about the Houston Texans. We talk about the AFC North being a tough division, and it is. That AFC South is going to be pretty strong. I mean, if a Levis, if he's good, then they're going to be good because they got some pieces to work with. Yeah. And then you got the Colts barely missed the playoffs. Jacksonville looked like they were locked. Then they cacked. So the AFC South could be an interesting division. Orioles and Seattle, two first place teams. We'll talk about that later on in the show with Ryan Divish from the Seattle Times. And we got the American League East reporter around 1:50. But Nolan, what's up?
Yeah, just looking at the Orioles here a little bit more, we're talking about the strength of the offense through the month of June, all the homers they hit, just how well they performed through a lot of tough series against playoff caliber teams, and the fact that you have guys at the bottom of your order that are coming around, Hayes and Mullins in particular. And the Orioles, I expect them to make a pitching addition, obviously, and the pitching will get better after the deadline, but the strength of this team has always been and will continue to be the offense. They'll go as far as the offense is going to take them. So again, to hammer home the importance of having no weak spots 1-9, when you get to the playoffs, and maybe this bullpen isn't exactly where we want it to be, maybe the rotation isn't as strong as we need it to be, but if your offense is firing in all cylinders, you can win in spite of a poor pitching staff. And I'm not saying the Orioles have a bad pitching staff, but recent history shows that you can win a World Series even with a flat-out bad bullpen. I mean, the Rangers did it last year. Kind of all the stars aligned for them. I think about the Nationals in 2019. Their bullpen was toast, but their starting rotation was so good that they started using those guys in the bullpen, and their offense was fantastic. So, I mean, you don't have to have a perfect team to win it all. The Orioles, like many teams in the league this year, aren't perfect, but the offense has to carry them.
And there's a lot of ifs in what I'm about to say, but Irvin pitches in July like he pitched in May, and Dean Kramer comes back, and he's what he was in the second half of 22 through 23. Things aren't as dire, but as Ryan Ripken pointed out, this depth that they used to have, there is no depth. There's no depth. They can ill afford another injury to their starting rotation. Chase McDermott, as we said earlier, he had 7 innings, 12 Ks for Norfolk. So maybe he'll be next in line. But as Ryan said, moves plural, he expects from Mike Elias. We got time for a fun house?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's have some.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with one on the Ravens here. This texter says, I'm not a big Bateman believer, but him running routes in a park in Florida has or would do nothing for me. The real work is coming in training camp. If the disconnect between him and Lamar continues, it won't be because he didn't join Lamar in Florida in the middle of July.
See, the texter, you don't get the whole picture there. 90% of feeling good about a guy and stuff is hanging out with him, communicating with him, doing those types, you know, trust in him, have confidence in him. And a lot of that just, you know, you go to dinner, you hang out, you know each other. I think that's as big a part of it as any. I mean, we heard that they were both in France together. Not together, but at the same time, didn't even see each other.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah.
French fries. Getting hungry here.
Best bread.
I'm telling you, those snails. They were probably eating snails. Remember, you're talking about the bread,
escargot,
other stuff.
I don't like that.
Yeah. All right, we're getting on track. Next.
All right, how about an Orioles text here from Russell and Frederick says, for the O's on this West Coast road trip, just find a way to stay afloat, win both series, especially the Seattle one with Grayson and Burns in line to both pitch here the next two nights. Keep playing the same ball you were playing there at the beginning of June. Get to the All-Star break, get that well-deserved break, and roll from there.
Yeah, and look, last time Grayson and Burns pitched in the same series, they got swept by the Astros. So you don't want to see that duplicate itself. But we'll get into this during the AL East report. If they just bring their A game, or B+, Seattle is really, really offensively challenged. Really offensively challenged. And we'll remember Julio Rodriguez, all that brilliance. Yep. Ain't nobody talking about him this year. And we'll tell you why next.
Well, it just popped into my head here, the pitching matchups, Rodriguez versus Kirby, Burns versus Gilbert, we presume tomorrow.
Sure.
It's feeling like that Philly series a couple weeks ago where we were talking about playoff caliber matchups throughout.
Yeah, and they're matching up well. What, it was Wheeler against Burns on that Sunday, and the Orioles hit four home runs off Zach Wheeler and eight on the board. It'll be interesting to see, however, who goes Thursday. Is it going to be Kramer, or do you save him for Oakland, assuming he's ready to go? Throw Suarez back out there, who pitched well on Friday against the Texas Rangers. Yeah, and like you said, Burns has not officially been announced for tomorrow, but, you know, we can Columbo this one up here.
If Kramer goes, Bob, what kind of pitch count will he be on?
If he's ready to go, hopefully 100. Health isn't the issue. It's performance down at the door. He's made four starts. Why bring him in there if he can't give you a full workload?
And before we get to news from the Nest, we'll continue our Bowie Bay Sox ticket giveaways. I got four more tickets. That's right, four more, not a pair. Four tickets here. I'm looking for caller number 8 at 410-583-1057. Again, four tickets here. They can be yours to any Bowie Bay Sox game this season.
Speaking of Bowie, Sammy Basayo picked for the Futures game representing the Orioles. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nets coming up next. Count that money, buy or sell, 12:15. And Mark Vandermeer, we're going to talk about the Houston Texans or Orioles. Ravens play them on Christmas. Yeah, that's going to be fun on a Wednesday. Made up stupid money grab game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.